Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Green Jean-Pierre, who listen, when we reached out to, who do we reach out? The White House? Who do we talk to about getting people
Erica,
on?
Erica.
Yeah, Erica. Anyway, we reached out because when you got the job, we just wanted to celebrate you. You know what I mean? But you've been, Black Uman, representing the LGBTQ community, representing Haitian Americans, representing Martinique, representing New York City. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, you know my bio. This is great.
We just wanted to show love. But the job that you're in, obviously, is so demanding and so busy. Getting on your schedule was a challenge. And so I just wanted... You put a book out. When did you put your book out about you just
Man.
Your
Woo, like 2019 feels like forever ago. And first of all, thank you so much for doing this. I'm sorry it took so long.
No,
I told everyone that I want to do this. Can we put it on my schedule? And it's just I wanted to do your show, Ebro. And it was just been just a whirlwind. It's just been a whirlwind. Like the world is on fire.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
You know, everything is happening. And, you know, we're doing our best. To deliver for the American people and, doing our best to really make sure that we're making people's lives a little better. And it's just been a tough couple weeks, but we're getting there. We have some good news. So
let's get to the actual job that you do. We'll do that in a second. But I want to talk about you as a human and you in this role. And what it feels like, right? Being the voice of basically being the voice of the White House on a daily basis to the press as a black woman and a child of immigrants. I want to hear what that feels like in your body on a daily, when you wake up, you look in the mirror and just what that obligation must feel like.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's a heavy obligation. You know, when they say you hear this term, it's an honor and privilege to serve. It truly is. It is an honor and privilege to serve in this capacity in such a big way, to be the voice of not just the president, but of the White House and also for the country, because everything that we're doing is to deliver for the American public. But you're right. I walk through the gates and I feel it. I feel the weight of my ancestors. I feel the weight of my family, my friends, my communities, everything that I represent. There's a higher level to reach, right? Everything that you do is being watched so closely. And so it's such an under a microscope, even more so because you're the first. It's always easy being the first for anyone. And so, you know, you are the trailblazer that lays down kind of the path for the next person behind you. And
I
so
I don't even
idea
think
is,
I'm,
no,
I'm,
go ahead. Go
I was
ahead.
Just going to
no,
say, I, not to cut you off, but I don't even people think I know, you know, my daughter and black women process this in this way. And the black women in my life process this way. But when they see you with your natural hair, how big that is, like just that in itself is massive for people in the workplace.
It's true. It sends a symbol of how you could look, you know?
Right.
And it's not, it's like the dark skin, the natural hair, all of those things certainly sends a symbol of representation, if you will. I mean, just think, President Biden chose me, someone who looks like me, someone who has the multiple diverse backgrounds, to be his voice,
right?
To be the main spokesperson for the White House. He made that choice. You know, it was his decision to make. And I think that says so much about how we are viewed by the commander-in-chief, the president himself, as communities, and also that, hey, you know, yeah, let's have someone who looks like me, a black woman who is of immigrant immigrant descent, who, again, represents a diverse community, be the voice of this country, be the voice of this White House. And I think that sends so much, such a message in volumes, you know. And then when people look at me every day and they see the hair and they see all of that, that how I present myself, I hope that's uplifting for young
people.
It is.
Don't even question it. It is.
And Corinne, I got to ask you, so what were you doing? I'm sure people are curious. What was the job you were doing previously that made President Biden think this is the person I want to represent me in the?
I have known President Biden since he was vice president, when I worked in the then Obama Biden administration. And I got to travel with him in 2009, 2010 and 2011. And I got to know him and he got to know me. And so we developed a relationship then. And so throughout the years, we stayed in touch. And then I used to be a political analyst on MSNBC. He used to watch me and he was, you know, very proud watching me, you know, speak up and represent and speak about all an array of issues almost every day on TV. And then we stayed in touch. He asked me to come into the campaign. I couldn't do it during the primary because I had so much going on. And I have a young one at home. And so then I promised him if he was in the general election that I would certainly do everything I can to be part of a very historic election because of our predecessor, who I'm talking about. And I knew I couldn't sit out. And so I went into the campaign and that's when it all started. And as far as coming into the White House, once we won and I became the deputy principal press secretary. So I was Jen Psaki's principal deputy press secretary. And that kind of when it all started, right? Can I do the job? Who was going to be next after she left? And it was very clear to him while I was doing the deputy job for about a year and a half that he wanted me to step in after she left. And he asked me to. And so that's kind of how the process has gone by, and that's how I ended up here. At least my relationship with the president and Dr. Biden as well.
Corinne, we chuckled when we were going through. We were checking out your bio, and there was a specific line that made me laugh. When it's like her parents wanted her to study medicine, and we were like,
"Oh, absolutely,
of course they
immigrant
did."
Immigrant parents.
Want to make sure. And I just want you to talk about, you know, hey, how did your parents feel when you told them, "Hey, this is what I want to do, and this is who I am." But just you growing up in Queens, like when I look at you, I feel like, "Oh, that's Corinne from down the block." You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's what makes us feel, that's what makes us smile when we see you. So talk a little bit about that.
Oh, thank you for the question. It's such a great question. So I always tell my brothers and sisters from the immigrant community who know exactly what I'm talking about to your question. It's like, you know, you grow up and everybody's parents wants their kids to have a better life than they do. Everyone. It doesn't matter what community you come from. Whether it's like, you know, Caribbean, wherever, here in this country, everybody's parents wants their kids to succeed. And every parents have their own definition of what that looks like, right? It's like, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be an engineer. You know, you're going to be, you know, a nurse. That's what you're going to be. That's how I see your success, because your success is our success.
Right.
And that's how they see it. And so my parents were like, you're going to be our doctor. We are so proud. And, you know, understanding my parents' background, my dad was a New York City cab driver, did it for decades.
Wow.
To this point, he's in his 70s and he does it part time. My mom was a home health care aide, and many people in Queens and in the boroughs know what that means, right? To be a home care aide, it is a very hard job.
Very hard.
12, 15 hour days, and you're 6-7 days a week, and you're just trying to make ends meet for your family. And so in their minds, they didn't want that for me. They wanted me to have that professional life. And so when I told them, look, I'm not going to become a doctor, they were devastated. I mean, completely devastated. And then I told them on top of that, coming from Haiti, I told them, hey, I'm going to go into politics. They were like, what?
No, please.
I think they thought that I would be like on the streets, you know, some corner, like somebody would have murdered me because I went into politics. I mean, that's their way of thinking. Right. It was just kind of like, no, politics is not the way to go here. And it took a little bit of time. I'll tell you, when they finally were proud that I was in politics is working for the first black president. I worked on his campaign. He won, and they were like, "Yes, that's when they realized, oh, okay,
this is important, this is great.
This is important. Yes, you're part of history." It is hard. But I tell all of my young friends who are looking to go into politics, and are trying to figure out how to do it or what this is going to mean for them. Look, I want to tell them I have been there. It is very hard, but you will get to where you need to if you are passionate about it, if this is meaningful to you. I used to teach college students before doing this job, and I would tell them all the time. They would ask me, how did you get to where you got to? And I said, be passionate. Love what you do. Be passionate about the work that you are doing, and everything will work out. I will promise you. If you are passionate, you work hard, and you do it honestly, you wake up in the morning, you're proud about what you're doing, it will work out. And sometimes you have those bad days and you're like, why am I doing this? I'm telling you, just stick with it. Stick with it. You will get to where you want to be.
Now, press secretary, getting into the headlines now. Of what you're doing and dealing with right now. The big story is the recession. And the headline that everybody is running with is the White House is trying to redefine a recession. I found myself on the air the other day talking about us regular folks. We don't care about a title and a name. We care about, like, why an egg and cheese is now $5. You know what I mean? Yeah. Why, yes. Why Arizona iced tea is $2. Why, what I mean? Whatever you call it, fix the prices. But what is the real with this whole redefining of what a recession is, and what do you want people to know?
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
So let me first say this, because you said something that is so true, which is really acknowledging what people are going through, the high prices, the high cost. And that is something that this president understands very personally. And we understand the anxiety that people have on the economy right now. We understand the anxiety that people have on inflation. And, this president is working every day to make sure that we are lowering costs. On your first question, and I just want to, and then after that, I'll talk about one more thing, if you allow me to, which is, look, we're not redefining what recession is. We are not. There is a textbook definition, a technical definition of what recession is. And we have seen experts, economic experts, say, what people are saying right now is that two negative quarters of GDP is a recession. When it is not, it is not the technical definition. That is not what Secretary Yellen says, who is our Secretary of Treasury, who is incredibly brilliant and very well respected. And the reason why is there are things in the economy, there are data that we see in the economy that shows that this is not what a recession looks like. When you look at the labor market, and understanding that people are still having a tough time. So we're just saying more broadly, we are creating jobs that are, averaging 400,000 jobs a month, which is not normal for a recession. We're seeing businesses invest, which is not normal for a recession. We're seeing consumer spending, which is not normal for a recession. With all of that said, we understand that we need to do the work, right? The president understands that we need to do the work to bring down costs, which is why we've done the work on gas prices. The president, made some historic decisions, as we've seen the gas prices go down about 70 cents per gallon. And that's about $70 that's going to save a month for families that have two cars. Again, we know there's more work to be done, but that matters. That matters to nurses and teachers, as we're talking about these different professions. And, there are bills right now that Congress is moving through that we encourage Congress to do. One of them is the Inflation Reduction Act. What that means is what's in there that is so important is lowering prescription drugs.
Right.
That's something.
And this
that
is the bill. This is the bill we're hearing about today that Manchin and Schumer have agreed on.
That's
Right. Okay.
Spot on. Spot on. And we are asking Congress to move that forward, because if you think about it, if you think about the seniors who are at home, right, our seniors, our senior citizens, our grandpa, our grandparents, who are trying to figure out how are they going to pay for really important pharmaceutical drugs that they need. Either they have a chronic condition or they just need it just to get up every morning. Those what they're talking about in Congress is that Medicare would be able to negotiate for prices to come down. That is fighting big pharma. So if we can do that, that will help give people a little breathing room, in particular our seniors. So there are things out there that we are pushing Congress to do. It looks like it's going to happen. We are really pleased to see the movement. And so all of these things will bring down inflation, fight inflation, those high costs that people are seeing, and get us to a place where people can have more of a breathing room. So we're doing the work. I know what I said is a lot of it is very technical, and people are just like, Corinne, you're just talking about DC stuff. But those things matter in delivering for the American public.
Well, and I think, too, you know, one of our gripes on this program is with regard to the Democrats is messaging, right? And the fact that, you know, the Democrats are people seemingly trying to get real work done despite what the clickbait headlines might be. But the clickbait headlines are the talking points and the memes and the social media fodder that tend to move around. Like, for instance, even this recession thing, right? Yeah. So the White House is trying to redefine what a recession is. Based on what we're hearing from you and based on what I've read, that's not the truth. However, the White House trying to redefine what a recession is a more entertaining headline and clickbait worthy, and people love entertainment in our society.
So, no, that's exactly right. Yeah. No, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, because President Biden signed an executive order protecting access to reproductive health care services, right? Can you explain what does it mean? Because I still see, you know, articles coming out every day about these horrors that are happening to women in states like Texas, women having to go to other states, you know, after their whatever the week ban is in that specific state. So when I saw this floating around social media, people were like, this means nothing. So can you explain to us what does this mean?
So let's step back for a second. What we saw the Supreme Court Justice do a few, maybe over a month ago, I've lost track of time, is incredibly extreme, which is they decided to do away with a constitutional right, which is Roe, and what they did was not a constitutional act. It was unconstitutional. It was so extreme to take away freedom of women, of American people, to take away privacy, to take away something that's been around for almost 50 years. So that's what they did. And it is scary, because when you look at what the folks on the other side, Republicans, are trying to do, in particular national Republicans, they are being very loud and clear, and they are saying we want national ban. And that is also incredibly extreme. And when you look at the decision, the Dobbs decision is what it's called, and you look at what Clarence Thomas said, he wants to move even further than repealing Roe. He's talking about marriage, and he's talking about taking away those rights. He's talking about contraception. So we are in dangerous times right now. And so what the president did, to your question, the first couple of hours, he used his executive authorities to make sure ahead of time, to make sure that medication that is needed for abortion medication is available. The FDA approved is available to women so that they can make their own decision about starting a family. Because here's the thing about that is more than 90% of abortions that we see is with abortion medication. So he wanted to get ahead of what we're currently seeing across the country, which is, I think, more than I think 12 states right now who have banned abortion, which is incredibly scary. And then the second piece that he did, and that was through FDA and HHS. He used that executive authority. And the second thing was Department of Justice, making sure that women who live in a state that where abortion is banned can travel safely to another state and be protected so that they can make their decision of what they need to do for their own health. So those are the two authorities that he took right away.
So you're saying even though surgical abortion is not available in certain states, they will have access to the medication?
They will have access to medication, FDA-approved medication, right, to make sure that that is out there and available for folks. And so that's what we were working to do. But here's the thing. Here's the reality of the situation. The president cannot do it alone. He just cannot. So Congress has to act and codify, make Roe legal, right? And that's the real way we're going to get to a situation where we are protecting everyone. So he's going to continue to make that call to action. One of the things that he did ask for and say is to carve out a filibuster to make sure that happens, because there's always the conversation of, you know, how do we use the filibuster? And he said, let's carve out for this filibuster for abortion to make sure that we can get rid of the filibuster to get this done. So all of this is incredibly important. There's still things that he's looking at that he can do. We always say everything is on the table. So we're not going to be done. We're not done yet, but we're going to continue to act.
We got to know, because when, you know, we see White House press secretaries, you guys are fielding questions from all types of media outlets. Sometimes it seems like you guys are very annoyed with the media in the room. Other times it feels like, wait, you're annoyed, but you guys are really friends on the low and everybody in there's got a job to do. What does it feel like as the spokesperson of the White House, where you have a room full of individuals literally analyzing every detail and every single word choice you have and throwing questions at you, constantly trying to trip you up and get you to make a mistake?
Yeah.
How do you prepare for that? And what does that feel like?
It's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of talking to our policy folks. I have a great team here who prep me every day, who come up with what we call, you know, the guidance, so that I know where we are on. So I know where we are, like, messaging wise and what we're saying on different particular issues and what matters to the American people as well. So it's a lot of prepping. It's having our finger on the pulse, knowing what folks are talking about, what's in the news, what you all are talking about, what's important to you, to the folks who listen to you, right? Your own constituencies. And all of that is important. But, you know, I have to tell you, it's exhilarating being behind the podium. Because you know that you're in a fight.
Right. I was going to say it's a fight.
Yeah. It's a fight. So you're pumped up. You're like, okay. And you have this back and forth. If, you know, when you watch the briefing, you see it's a back and forth. It's a give and take that is actually very healthy for our democracy. It is important for the press to ask us the hard questions and for us to be able to deliver answers. And also to make us think about, okay, this is how our message is being perceived or is landing. So it is very, I think, healthy. Give and take. Yeah, sometimes it gets a little contentious, and sometimes it's a little tougher than it's necessary. But most of the time, it is an opportunity for us to push our message out constantly and hopefully effectively. I find it an honor. It is truly, truly an honor and a privilege, because I will never have a job like this, guys. Never again. Once I leave, this is it. Right? Yeah. I will never have an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like this.
I couldn't do the job. I would be at the podium like, yo, my man, you being ridiculous on purpose, fam. You are trying to be ridiculous on purpose. You know what you're asking me right now sounds wild stupid, fam. Chill out. Now,
chill out. I think sometimes we get close to saying that without saying it. But yeah, you're like, what? Okay.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now, one thing people are already asking about, Corinne, and they will be for the next couple of years, is about Joe Biden running for office again. Where are things with that right now? Obviously, there are people who have concerns. He has COVID right now. He's getting over it. Your thoughts on the president's reelection?
So let me just say something about the COVID, because this is really, really important. So, yes, we are getting close to back to normal, but COVID is still here. You have to think about it. This president, bounced back, after having COVID for, I think, 5 official days. And it's because he was fully vaccinated. It's because he was double boosted. It's because he had treatment and boosters and vaccines that we didn't have 18 months ago. You know, when the president walked into this administration, he inherited a very disjointed response when it came to COVID. And he turned that around to make sure that we have what he has. Everything that he did, we all have it. And it's free. The boosters are free. The vaccines are free. You want to get a mask, that's free. If you want to get tests, that's free. Go to COVID.gov. Please go there. And we hope that what the president went through is a teachable moment for everyone, is an assurance that, hey, we can get through this. We know how to manage this. Just think, one more stat is when he walked into the administration, 3,000 people a day were dying of COVID. Mm. We have brought that down to 90%. That matters. That matters as we're trying to get back to our everyday lives. And he was able to have COVID, have the treatment, and do his job in the White House residence. So that is all important. So just wanted to say that. On the other question that you asked, I cannot get into because I am a political official that works in government. I can't get into politics here, but I will say this. He has been very clear that he intends to run in 2024, and I would just have to leave it there.
Now, Corinne Jean-Pierre, do you say Jean-Pierre or Jean?
Jean-Pierre. All right. Bring the whole French.
Glad you said that, because while we have you, we got to talk Haitian food. You got a favorite dish?
Oh my God. I mean, look, wow. Oof. I like it all. Dix collé à pois, that's my jam. I'm a vegetarian. So okay. I always, vegetarian legume is always my way, my go. And banan pizze. So those are my favorite
go-to dishes.
Together, you put them together, it's delicious.
And while you're at the podium, you never get to spit any Haitian Creole. So, we wanted to give program.
I'm going to have to figure that out.
But on this platform here, we have tons of people with Haitian heritage listening right now.
All right.
So I want you to close out with a message, whatever you want to say to the Haitian community, family, loved ones, tune in, anything. Just say anything, because, the language is so important. And
the language is so strong, and it's so important. I mean, I don't know if I can capture it. I don't, with the Creole, really, because, I just want to say what a powerful history that we all have. And it's Black history. I just want to make sure to say that. What Haitian history is Black history.
That's right.
And that history of our ancestors, of 1804, of what we've been through, our ancestors have been through throughout the years, makes us such beautiful, strong, brilliant people. And always keep your head up, be proud, know your history, and it should be everyone, know where you came from and be proud of it. And so that's what I wanna say, especially to my young folks out there. I did not hear that enough when I was younger, and I had to learn that on my own. And now I think times are very, very different, which is great to see. But, Kembela.
There it goes. Corinne, so much, Jean-Pierre, they're wrapping us up. You know what I'm saying? We could get into 1804, Dessalines talk. We could do all that up here. You know what I mean? So whenever you want to come back, you know what I mean? And come in the studio. We'd love to have you and celebrate you. And you're making everybody proud. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.
That's
Thanks for having me.
Keep going. Okay.
Take
talk
care.
Soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.